Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, and the scripture lessons are found in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8, Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. Today's message is titled, There Is No Other. The word of the Lord from Isaiah, chapter 44, beginning at verse 6. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God beside me? No. There is no other rock. I know not one. Here ends the reading from Isaiah. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning of verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Continuing now at verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Luther's words, but my prayer also. I really love a delicious, thick cut. We're talking 1.5 to 2 inches, thick cut prime rib, seasoned and grilled to perfection. I mean, it's delicious. I mean, there's grilled chicken, grilled hamburgers, yes, grilled hot dogs too. I mean, the flavor of cooking with coals and that flavor of smoking a pork shoulder for hours and that touch of hickory smoke till it's juicy, tender, finger-pull-apart goodness. I mean, real meat. And then that smoky filling aroma. I mean, there's nothing like a summer afternoon of grilling a good cut of meat. And even in the winter, I like to grill. And there's nothing like smelling the grill smoke there in the middle of winter when there's snow on the ground. I mean, it is good. I mean, you pull out the grill and you cook up a feast. Do I have your taste buds watering? Have you made your plans for lunch yet? Think of all the goodness that you can have with a good steak. Lately, and you've maybe seen these too, but lately I've seen these commercials touting the goodness of plant-based concoctions that supposedly taste like meat. And being plant-based, they espouse that these burgers are environmentally friendly. Hogwash. To get that beef taste, it comes with a highly processed industrial product. Calling it healthy alternative meat is, it's really straining credulity at the best. Now, to start off, to get the plant-based material, it's a heavily industrial style of farming. It's heavy on the pesticides, and the soil really does get degraded in the process. Then, to get the beef flavor takes a lot of additives and fillers to mimic the taste and texture of beef. To get the protein powders, it involves the chemical process, usually with hexane. Hexane, it's a known neurotoxin. And then to get that meaty flavor, that appearance of blood in the meat, it's a patented chemical, and it's called, I may mispronounce it, but it's called legohemoglobin. Legohemoglobin, it's SLH for short. It mimics myoglobin or the heme in the meat. SLH is genetically engineered compound with very little safety testing. SLH is found in small amounts in natural form in the nodules of soy plants, but to get the needed quantities, to really put this into industrial form, to get the needed quantities, you can't get it naturally. It's just not feasible. So to get the needed quantities, this is what they do. It's created in a lab by inserting a genetic code into genetically engineered yeast grown in a factory synthesized broth and then increased in an amount in industrial bioreactor. Unknown. These are unknowns. The health ramification of this false meat. And there are more questions. There are more questions as to the other ingredients. I mean, go to the grocery store, pick up the false meat and read the label and see all the stuff that goes into it. Read the ingredients on the package for yourself, but I think this brief note is already enough to wonder why in the world anyone would want false meat. Why would you eat fake meat when you can have real beef? Grilled to mouth-watering perfection. You want to know what the answer is? Misguided and indoctrinated idol worship. Yes, that's what it is. Misguided and indoctrinated idol worship of saving the planet. Saving the planet from cows that produce too much methane gas. And also too much CO2. You know, it's that methane gas is pseudoscience, like too much CO2. I mean, you know, plants, they thrive on CO2. Dr. John F. Clauser, he was a joint recipient of the 2022 Nobel Prize in Physics. He's criticized the climate emergency narrative, that idol, a narrative calling it a dangerous corruption of science that threatens the world's economy and the well-being of billions of people. Dr. Clauser has criticized the awarding of the 2021 Nobel Prize for work in the development of computer models predicting global warming. According to the coalition of scientists and commentators who argue that an informed discussion about CO2 would recognize its importance in the sustaining plant life. So is CO2 an evil gas, or is it important for sustaining plant life? Idol worship, misguided pseudoscience. I can point you to all the references for everything I'm speaking of today too, if you like. I mean, why? Why to go to such an extent to have fake meat? And touting the fake meat is environmentally friendly. It's really a form of idol worship. We got to save the planet. Cows put out too much methane gas. I mean, you go on, idol worship, desiring false gods that I'll allow and even encourage you to do as you please. I mean, you want to find a God that encourages you to go throw off those moral constraints and do what you want to do. And these days, these false gods go even farther from do what you want to do it in front of children. Yeah, do it in front of children, in front of innocent eyes and innocent hearts. That's grooming. That's what's grooming. The American Library Association, the ALA, last year put out a press release in 2021 stating they oppose the widespread effort to censor books in U.S. schools and libraries. Here's the truth. Parents are standing up for their rights of raising and protecting the innocence of their children. These sexually explicit books have no business in school libraries, but why are they there? Idol worship of sensuality. It's a false worship. It's not censorship to demand age books be age appropriate. Remember, do you remember growing up with Dick and Jane books? Dick and Jane and Spot and Fluffy, Puffy and Mom. And I mean, do you remember those Dick and Jane books? Do you remember them reading? Those have been replaced. And if you're so inclined to, I can provide you a list of books and you can look up these worst offenders if you want to for yourself. The worst of the worst. You will quickly see they are not anything like the innocent Dick and Jane, along with Spot the dog and Puff the kitten and little sister Sally too, of the years past. I mean, one quick glance, you'll see these books are far from. Come here, Dick. Come and see Puff. See Puff play. See Puff jump. Puff can jump and play. These books that parents want out of the libraries are not anything like those. There is evil. There is evil. And the evil one is always sowing seeds for your destruction. I mean, Jesus tells the parable, Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. There is an evil one who continually is tempting to turn towards false gods, to tempt the baser emotions to be expressed. Just as in ancient Athens, sensuality, freedom is a strong, luring goddess and enticing the younger and younger and younger, as well as the older and older too. Those cohabitating are on the rise. And those who actually marry before cohabitating, that is falling. And those desiring to have children in Western culture, it's falling too. Once you divorce, take apart marriage, procreation and all that, you take that all apart, this is what you get. Children interfere with her passion for spontaneous travel. Children interfere with my desires. So Western culture is falling apart. Why? Idol worship, the worship of self. That is idol worship. Truly desiring to be God in oneself. Making the self an idol in place of the living God. Because it's my wants, my desires, my wishes, my plans in the heart. Such that there's no room for these words from Psalm 119. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Can there be room for that with my wants, my desires, my... I sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Obey the words of God. Consider one's ways. Reflect on one's life and realize one is walking not in accordance with God's ways in such a manner to actually turn one's steps to the statutes of the Lord God. How likely is that to happen in the hearts of the so-called Gen Z, Generation Z of these days? And I ask also, how often does that actually happen in your own heart too? I want to do this! But the Word of God says... A few years ago, TNT shared a Sir Oliver musical in Sunday morning worship. The musical was about the Ten Commandments. And one of the songs was, "Just One God Is He." And here's a few lines of the lyrics. "Some people chop up cedar wood, then do strange things I never understood. With half of the wood they cook their food, and with half they make a god. How can you worship cedar wood? How could it ever possibly be good? If the tree could think, it would have found a way you couldn't chop it down." Do you see the madness of a piece of wood carved into a god, fashioned by a man's hands? Oh, but it's covered with gold. I mean, it's sheer madness. Isaiah 44, this is what the Lord says. "I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God." First, it means before all things. Before all things, first. I mean, it's before anything ever was. God was there. Last, it means after all things. God is there before, God is there after, God is there. The Lord is before all and after all, and there is none. No one beside, no one in any other place, none other. None other is God. There's only one God. Only one God. And this is the Lord that is speaking here in Isaiah 44. Not the thoughts of the mind of the prophet Isaiah. These are the word revealed to be written down, the very word of the living God. More from Isaiah 44. "Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it." Is there anyone that can speak and bring into being as the Lord God has done, who spoke all of this of creation into being? No, there is not one. There's only one God. One God who spoke all of this into existence. And that is the very same one God, the Lord God, who is speaking here to Isaiah. The Lord has spoken of things to come. Prophecies of those things that have come to pass. Can anyone do the same? In Isaiah 54, that's what the Lord's speaking about. Consider the book of Isaiah. Consider these words of Isaiah. Well, the words of God Isaiah wrote down 700 years or more before Jesus fulfilled them. Yes, in his own life, Jesus fulfilled these. Isaiah chapter 9. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant." And of course, Isaiah 52 and 53, "The suffering servant," where you find words of disfigured and appearance marred beyond human likeness. Isaiah 53, despised, rejected, took up our infirmities, stricken by God, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Stricken. I mean, stricken by God for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. These words revealed to Isaiah, spoken by God, written down over 700 years before Jesus the Christ, fulfilling them. Only one God could do this, and that is the true God. The great Isaiah scroll from the Dead Sea Scrolls, it's nearly every part of the 66 chapters of Isaiah intact, confirming the consistency of Isaiah for over 2,000 years. There is a God, and only one God. There is no other. I encourage you later today to read the rest of Isaiah chapter 44, to hear what God speaks about idols. A portion of it, Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 9. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame. Who shapes a god and casts an idol, which can profit him nothing? He and his kind will be put to shame. Craftsmen are nothing but men. Let them all come together and take their stand. They will be brought down to terror and infamy. I mean, hands making idols. And a few moments ago, I shared those words from that Sir Oliver musical. Listen to Isaiah chapter 44, now beginning at verse 14. He cut down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow. It is man's fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread, but he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself. Ah, I am warm. I see the fire. From the rest he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to and worships it. He prays to it and says, save me, you are my God. Now you can see where Sir Oliver got the words from. I mean, you see the insanity of that. You take the wood and you make your supper, and the other part of the wood you make a god and you worship it. It's insane. Save me. Can that word save me? But save me is a cry of the heart. Save me. And only one can truly save. The living God. Augustine of Hippo, his words have stood the test of time. In his Confessions, he writes, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Hearts are restless these days, and they're trying to fill them with all sorts of these things. And this world cannot satisfy and never will satisfy. The 17th century mathematician, physicist, scientist, the Christian Blaise Pascal, writing in defense of the Christian faith, he echoes Augustine's words when he wrote of man's infinite abyss that man vainly seeks with a fill with these things of the world that just aren't there. Wired into all of us is that longing for something more, something greater. Blaise Pascal, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim, but there was once in a man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and mutable object. Let's really let that sink in. Since this infinite abyss, some pronounce it that way too, this infinite abyss can only be filled with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, by God Himself. Blaise Pascal's words. After that mighty deliverance out of Egypt, the Lord God has Moses bring the people to Mount Sinai to worship. There at Mount Sinai, the Lord God appears to Moses and gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, beginning of verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. The one who is mighty. The one who in mighty displays of power delivered you from Pharaoh and the false gods of Egypt. From the perspective and reminding Israel what the Lord has done, the Lord begins, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath, and so forth on down to the 10th commandment. Do not covet. In your own heart, in your own life, the place to begin is no other gods. Have no other gods. There is none other. There is no other God. There is no other, so have no other gods. Settle that once and for all in your own heart. There is no other God. There is only the true living God, the one true living God. There is no other. This is essential. This is vital to your joy in life. There is no other God. And the more you try to find other gods, so you can do as you desire and be yourself and express yourself, or using today's lingo buzzword, be your authentic self. Notice if you go through all these authentic selves and how to find your authentic selves, none of them really are truly authentic, because you will not find these words in any of those. Be your authentic self. As we began today, we confess we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, but what we have done and by what we left undone. And then a little later we say, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. The truly authentic self, the one that has no other gods before God, understands, I am a sinner in need of redeeming grace. I am a sinner in need of redeeming grace. And only the one true God can redeem and save. Only one true God can save. The evil one sowing the weeds does not have your best interest in mind, rather has the worst in mind for you. The evil one is the enemy. Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 37. He, that's Jesus, answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. The good seed, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, and that grace and mercy the Father gives you through the Son. It is written in John chapter 17, Jesus speaks these words, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There is only one who offers and can give you eternal life. There is no other, only the true God. Know the true God. Really, truly know the true God in your heart and the Son whom He has sent. That means have no other gods in your heart. Matthew 13, picking up now at verse 41. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Isaiah 44, verse 8. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. There is salvation only in the true God, through the Son whom the Father sent, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. People seek other gods because they don't want the constraints that the only true God says about live your life this way. It is the good way to live. They'd rather live the evil one's way of self-indulgent, self-desires, making oneself to be God. No, there is no other God. No other God. Salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through the Son. These are the truth. And do you hear how that really flows out of that Isaiah 44 reading that we had this morning, and the Psalm 119 reading, and the parable of the weeds? There is no other God. So rejoice and be filled with joy, be filled with hope, be filled with certainty. Eternal life is yours. Not because of what you do or have done or can do. It's because of Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. And you believe and trust in the one true God. You don't look for another. You look to God and God alone. Amen. And amen.